We record tonight's session. It will be available on the prophetsplus.org website somewhere later tonight in anticipation of our information stud, Bruce Giroux, being able to massage the audio files and put them in an MP3 format so that you'll have the opportunity late tonight or tomorrow to download it for your computer, or that you can take and simply listen from the prophetsplus.org website to hear the program. If you want to hear more information, hear it again, or if you are someone who's not getting to hear us live. During the course of the evening, I will be monitoring the email to see if there's any last-minute questions coming in. And I will also be out there watching on Facebook to see if there's anything coming along that someone has got to say that we need to take and make sure that we get in front of Scott, since we're able to pry him away after he being out in the field all day working with people to come and share and talk information with us. So, that being said, joining us tonight, our co-host tonight in Nashville, Tennessee, Bill Kendi, are you there?
I am here, Mr. Shea.
Other than a sarcastic comment of an airplane, what takes you to Nashville?
Why would I have a sarcastic comment about an airplane? Anyway,
because I know
I'm down here visiting my 89-year-old mother.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and it's been a while since I've seen her, and they moved down here from Michigan about 30 years ago. So I guess they qualify as true rebels. I know that they do qualify as a damn Yankee, but yeah, they've been here for a long time, and you know, and I haven't seen them in a long time, and so here I be.
All right. Well, and is Nashville nice and comfortably warm tonight?
Yes, it is. Well, it's about 65-ish, and a little bit rainy. But Tom, the interesting thing is that the temperature and the weather conditions in Michigan are exactly the same today. So, go figure, you know. I don't know. But
no big difference.
I'm not complaining about either place, guy.
So. Fair enough. Well, let's get on to business, because as I was visiting pre-show with our guest tonight, his comment was, we could take any one of these points and could discuss it for an hour. And if that were true, we would be here till about 4 or 5 tomorrow morning, and I'm thinking some of us are going to drop it between now and 4 or 5 hours and not wanting to continue on with that, so we, as I would say, probably ought to progress with the show. So that being said, let me grab his little piece of music. I happen to know this person very well. I've known him for years. I know he likes his jazz. I know he likes his blues. And I also know he enjoys a good glass of red wine, because when he shows up at our office, we take and pull one out, a bottle of red wine out of the cooler, and pour him a glass so he can take and enjoy. So that being said, interesting piece of a guitarist, Spanish guitar, a guy by the name of Gary Moore. So my guest tonight, and yes, he's a guest, but more than that, he's a friend. I will say in the last 18 years, we went through several different people for taking care of the IT aspects of things for Prophets Plus. This guy has been with us longer than everybody else combined. He's very talented, he's very intelligent, he's very dedicated to what he does. He studies all the time, learning all kinds of new things, bringing new techniques, and always changing, which is one of the things we're going to talk about. The name of his company is Fast Track Computer Solutions. They are down here on the Gulf Coast of Florida. We don't see him that often, because so often he's remoting into it. But I is just a whiz at getting myself out of trouble and making sure that all the machines here work. Or if I'm out traveling on the road, he can remote in someplace and make sure it all works, but he keeps everything secure. And that being said, my friend, my guest tonight, Scott Neal. Scott, you are there, right?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Tom, for a wonderful introduction. I appreciate that.
You've been awesome. You take very good care of us. You know, I mean, you do know all kinds of stuff. You stay on top of the latest information. Because there have been times over the years I've wondered, why are we changing from this to something else? And you've always come back with a you know, this is what's newer, this is what's better, not waiting to get our shall we say, our butts in a sling with some kind of problem. You're always staying on top of stuff.
Yes, it's a very long and tedious process to do so, but it's also very enjoyable. My passion is, my job is my passion, and I'm very fortunate to be in a field that, you know, I really like to, I like my job. It's a wonderful thing.
And you do put in a, a more than your fair share of hours, because there have been times that I have gotten up early in the morning and come into the office and looking online here, and I can see, oh, you were in the computer remoting into our system, and you were there late hours at night. You do kind of burn the candle a whole lot. But you do have this wonderful woman that you're married to who, on her side, I will say, puts up with you, supports you, backs you up, and makes the things happen at Fast Track. I mean, she's pretty awesome, and she does seem to keep you going.
Yes, she does, and she keeps those invoices going out too.
Well, someone's got to make money so that you can pay for the tickets, because I mean, you do like going to concerts and listen to your jazz and your blues, and you like a good bottle of wine, and you did buy a new car last year.
Yes, yeah. Every once in a while we like to splurge. And
yes.
Like in your car, though, too, Tom.
Yeah. So you have this company called Fast Track Computer Solutions. It's here on the West Coast. And as should be the case with most of us in business, I found you because of a mutual friend, John Toppy, who is a part of an architecture firm here in town, who, when I got to the point, I was aggravated, tired, and put out with someone who was doing work on our machines, and he said, you know, here's a guy you need to call. His name is Scott Neal, and Scott's, like, really good at this stuff, and that has been a bunch of years ago, and we've been together ever since. So what do you do anyway? I mean, I know a lot of it. I mean, I know what you do for us, but explain to people what all it is that you do.
In a nutshell, I deliver solutions to customers. We go in, we evaluate their current situation and see if there's any ways to optimize the systems that they have, improve their processes, and increase their productivity through technology. And along with that also comes, you know, what the topic is on tonight's security. Not only increasing and optimizing the productivity, we also have to also take into consideration the levels of security that we have to bring to the small business to ensure that they're as well protected as they can be from malicious activity outside of the network and even inside the network in some cases.
So you do keep the ugly stuff from getting into my machine. You and you sell me machines, and you make sure that if something will happen, as several times have occurred, if something accidentally got deleted, you do have it in some how or another that you do stuff that we can go back and get it. Something that gets lost somewhere out there somehow. You make it possible that we could go and find it again and bring it back. So I guess that's probably a good place to start, is that the concern, I guess we, from our first computer system back in the 80s, is that sometimes things happen and you need to get your information. And so, for lack of my better phrasing of it, the first thing we're looking at is a backup of the information that's on the hard drive of your machine.
Absolutely, and backups are extremely crucial, and actually choosing the right backup for your situation is very important. We have to make sure that not only can, as you've experienced in the past, recover you, but maybe even recover a copy of a file that happened prior to. an earlier version of a file. Maybe something became corrupted, something became accidentally deleted, and we have to go back and see if we can find, you know, either the current or a previous version of that file. So looking at your backup solutions, you know, you have to go out there and do your homework or work with a person that's very familiar with backup softwares and what their capabilities are to ensure that you have the proper level of protection.
So, I mean, I see a lot of people that when I go to visit in communities and I hand a business this little questionnaire, I ask about them and I'm talking about the computer system, I ask them, so do you have an off-site backup of your information? So if something were to happen to your computer, a lightning surge, a fire, or anything of that nature, that you could go back and grab the information. Because if you don't, then you're going to have issues with filing taxes. You're going to have issues that if you need to send invoices to people, I mean, just think about if everything on your computer just suddenly disappeared, not just the software that you've lost, but all of that information, you're kind of up the creek.
Absolutely. And depending on what industry your business is in, it even compounds further by rules and regulations on the retention policies of the data that you have. Not only for tax purposes, I mean, you may have to reproduce the last 5 years of your taxes, but attorneys have to save the last 7 years of their data. And if a case, if it's a personal injury case, it goes to 11 years, and they can't destroy that information. Doctors, they're responsible for your medical records for the life of their practice being open. So there's a lot of different concerns that people have, and trying to find a solution. And offsite is a great solution because disaster can happen. As you said, a fire, lightning. We've experienced theft. We've had a business completely, somebody broke in and stole all their computers, and they didn't know where to even begin. I mean, and luckily we were able, because we did have it in the cloud, to reconstruct their data and get them to a level where their loss was minimal.
Yeah, no visual.
Now, does anybody out there still do on-site backup?
Yeah.
I mean, are they backing up and just holding on to it somewhere?
There's a lot of people that do that, and I also encourage that as probably the first line of defense. Right. Having a little thumb drives, you know, they go bad. Having an external hard drive somewhere that you could back up and quickly get to your data, and utilizing the cloud as the ultimate fallback, because the cloud can hold all the data, can hold multiple versions of that data, but it's very time-consuming and cumbersome to bring it back from the cloud. It's all dependent on the internet connection that you have. Where if you do have a local backup, you can get back to your data a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. But then if you've got sizable machines, you've got a problem, though. I mean, I think about ours. I mean, you know my system in and out. How many thumb drives would it take to back mine up?
Well, in today's technology, one. Believe it or not, they just came out with a 256-gig thumb drive. So, I mean, but when we first started, it would have taken, you know, numerous thumb drives. You know, a CD holds 750 meg. A DVD holds 4.2 gig. So you start looking at that, and you would have a room full of DVDs or CDs backed up of your data. Yeah. And not to mention that over time, those go bad as well.
Yeah, Scott, my question is, too, that you've forgotten more about this stuff than I'll ever know. But, I mean, if you're backing it up on a device like a thumb drive, you don't have to back up the whole system every time. Can't you just back up the action that took place over the last week or whatever the case may be?
If you have that, those type of capabilities, yes. Most people put all their data files in a single location, so they would actually, it'd be a manual task to go in and sort out, well, last time I backed up these files, so this time I only have to back up these files.
Yeah, okay.
And there's certain software packages out there, and even, you know, for instance, Western Digital comes with a an automated backup software that comes with their external USB drives. There's another company called ClickFree that does that. And they're great for very small business and home users.
Yeah. How secure, Scott, is the cloud? Is there any issues with the cloud security or availability? Does that ever go down? I mean, I don't know that much about it.
Yes, the cloud is a complicated place to be.
Okay.
In choosing a cloud provider, you have to do your due diligence as well, and you've got to make sure that they can produce to you their certifications that they're a secure facility. If they can't produce that they're a secure facility, then you know that's the first place I'm going to run away from.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you have to look at is how long have they been in business? Because these cloud companies are popping up left and right, and they're going away as fast as they're coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to partner yourself up with a company that's been around a long time, and you also want to look at, you know, the type of backups that they can offer you. Can they do multi-file backups where you can have three different versions of a Word document or Excel file you might have worked on?
Yeah.
Are they giving you a terabyte of storage space?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are generally very secure because there's an agent that installs on your machine and only talks to your machine and their provider. It's the ones like, and I see a lot of people that use programs like Dropbox for backup. Dropbox is very unsecure, and anybody can get into your Dropbox account if you've shared anything with them.
Okay.
So, you know, that's another cloud provider I would stay away from if it were me trying to back up my private or personal or business information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What time is it, Tom?
Gosh, I don't know. It's kind of late in the day. Oh, sorry. Oh, okay, hey, time for a quick station break, then we'll come back and remind everybody what
this is. E-Retailer Conversations on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.
So this is E-Retailer Conversations for March 10th, 2016. Our guest tonight is my friend Scott Neal. Scott Neal is with Fast Track Computer Solutions. It's a company here on the west coast of Florida. You'll find them online, fast, F-A-S-T, trackcomputer.com. Our phone number, 727-942-2066. Am I remembering that right, Scott? 942-2066?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess that says something about my computer skills at times when I have your number committed to memory. Let's continue this discussion about the backup. Someone in having it probably needs to have someone like you, I'm thinking about the ones I see in here advertised, the Carbonite and a couple other ones that I hear mentioned most often. And yet my suspicion is people who are professionals doing what you do aren't using those ones that we see commonly advertised on radio or TV.
And
I mean, it seems like you're using something that's a little heavier duty. I don't hear, like I said, I don't hear people saying Carbonite other than on the radio, or say put it up on something like Dropbox or some of those, or Mosey. I remember Mosey being one. Is Mosey still out there?
Yes, Mosey's still available as well.
Okay, but for us, you have us on Sooner, which makes me think of like Oklahoma Sooner, S-O-O-N-R.
Yes, and the reason being is because there's different grades of offsite backups. The Carbonites, the Moseys, were primarily designed for home users. You know, they're just actually Carbonites just starting to get into the corporate environment, but they're still just targeting small businesses. Where the Sooner customers start out at small businesses and work all the way up into enterprise environments. And Sooner offers a very unique capabilities, depending on the size of your business, on how you can integrate, collaborate with not only your own people via project management, or also share information and track that information with people outside of your organization.
I know that we are using Sooner. I mean, I just like it from the standpoint that I can look at it on my cell phone if necessary. And I love the idea that there are certain files that when I travel with, they are automatically dumped over onto my laptop for traveling. I mean, it's an extremely convenient, extremely affordable type of program. And while I don't know how to set it up, you did. You knew it.
Yes, and that's the power of Sooner over the others, because Sooner is much more than just a backup solution. It's a synchronization application. It's a sharing. It's a collaboration program. It has a lot more built into it, and it's as affordable as a Carbonite or a Mosey.
Okay. Well, now, as we're looking at backup, let's jump over to the first of several questions that we got. And what I'm thinking about is I had shared with you earlier, my friend Sandy from up in New York. And she has, I would suspect, as a lot of people do, her business has a website. She does online selling. She has a physical business, you know, brick and mortar style. And the software that she's buying from this company that provides it says that a part of it is a cloud-based backup system in case something happens. And in a situation like that, where a business is using somebody's programs for their point of sale, using it for their website and all, are you going to recommend that they have a second type of cloud backup, like a Sooner?
Sooner can play multiple roles in this, but I want to break this up a little bit if we can, because I think we have two conversations. First off, in Sandy's instance, she's actually doing an online point-of-sale system. And the point-of-sale system says that we've got your back, we've got your backup. That means her entire business is in the cloud, and she has nothing local unless she prints it off. And one of my concerns with anybody that does a business like that is to go back to the cloud provider and say, I'm glad you have my back, I'm glad you have my backup. Can I have a copy of my data as well in case something happens to you?
Even when they say that they have got multiple places that the backup is occurring?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The only place I would never go to and ask is Amazon or Microsoft, because those are the guys that have all the data centers.
Okay. So it's one of those, hey, I love you, I trust you, but at the same time, I want to kind of have access to my own stuff.
Even though they have the data backed up, what happens if they go out of business or bankrupt? Who then owns that data? You don't. They do. And you're going to fight tooth and nail to get that data back from them or whomever has taken over their company if they've gone into bankruptcy.
Okay. So the cloud is basically just a big server out there, right?
In a lot of circumstances, yes. It's a big shared server out there that a bunch of companies tap into.
Yeah.
And everything's backed. Believe it or not, most of this stuff is backed into probably an Amazon data center somewhere, because Amazon owns the most data centers in the U.S. and abroad.
Okay.
And a lot of these companies are subletting from Amazon, but you can never get your data if you went back to Amazon and said, this guy's out of business, let me have my data. They're going to say, no, our agreement was with that business. It's not with you.
So it's not the fund.
We're not going to give it to you.
Okay.
That's interesting.
So,
okay.
Does there exist then, again, I'm thinking back to Sandy's situation, does there exist a program that will go up there and suck the information back down for her?
It depends on the way the system is set up. I didn't have an actual opportunity to personally work with Sandy or look at how her system works. And in some circumstances, the answer is yes. There is a way that you can go in there and you can suck all your data back out. You can print it. Obviously, she can print it all and print it to a PDF file, but then she's got everything on paper somewhere or stored as PDF files everywhere. It's a starting point, but what we really, if you want to get back to business, if something happens, you've got to have that raw data. You've got to have it to where it can be inputted into something else or, you know, cross-platform into another application if they accept the data.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, though, it's your responsibility, it's your business, it's your data, and you want to have control of it.
How about the frequency of the backup? I mean, I know with what you have us on, it's 24/7 as compared to, I remember when we first had backup of our computer system, it was certain specific times of the day where it went. So if there was an issue in the interim, you did, in essence, have periods, hours, where you had, you would lose that chunk of information. Is most everything out there today now an instant backup?
Not at all. we're doing file synchronization so we can, in your instance, Tom, we're doing file synchronization so we can ensure that the same data is on all your devices simultaneously. In most small businesses, however, I walk into a lot of small businesses and I see that they're doing a backup maybe once a month, once a week, and if I'm really lucky, they're doing it once a day. It really depends on your recovery time objective. How long can you be down before it starts impacting your bottom line?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we design a backup solution to augment and to work within your retirement, your RTO, your recovery time objective.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking two points here then. One is how long can you afford to be down, but if your backup is only at timed moments, then how do you handle it if you had a backup at 2 p.m. and your business conducts on business till 7 o'clock, it's going to do backup at 8. So between 2 and 7:59, that information would be lost. Because
yes.
It just didn't come at the moment of backup.
Yes, and that's part of our recovery time objective. We'll go through, I go through an entire sheet with a customer, and I ask them these questions. Can you afford to lose 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours worth of data? Can you afford to go a whole day and, you know, lose a whole day's worth of data on your system and still be functional and profitable? Because at the end of the day, we don't want you to lose money. We don't want this to hit your bottom line. We want to get you back up and running as quickly as possible in the most comfortable means that you can. Also know, though, that the shorter the recovery time objective is, the more costly that becomes. So there's always a financial impact on getting those time frames shorter and shorter and shorter. And this is really for, not for the cloud-based businesses, but this is really for the businesses that are doing everything on site. They have their own server, and they have their own practice management software, their QuickBooks, you know, whatever automation software that they're running that functions with, that makes their business function.
All right. So now in backup, are you like, you're heavy into Sooner, or are there other products out there that you're okay with?
There are other products out there, but I've tested them all, and I only sell what I use internally, and I've tested, and I've made sure it works. I've been on Sooner. Tom, I believe you've been on Sooner for about a year now. I've been on Sooner for 3 years. I didn't even approach you until 2 years into it about the product. Because if I'm not comfortable with it and I know that my business is running successfully on it, then I'm comfortable in bringing it out to the masses and saying, look, I've been the guinea pig here. I put my business on the line and I made sure that I'm covered. And now I'm comfortable in presenting this to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that with every application that we feel we need to. That goes with security, antivirus programs, your backup programs. In some cases, application development programs where somebody's looking for a custom application, we'll go out and we'll make sure and test it all before we even present it to the customer.
Okay. So now our friend Sandy asked another good question, saying that as she has a credit card terminal, like many businesses, that in her case, as I understand Sandy's question, it's not tied directly to her point of sale system. So separate machine, appears to be a separate line that it's connecting to the bank card system there. Is that an issue?
Well,
I don't remember the I do know I answered this, and I'll be honest with you. It could be an issue. It could not be an issue. The first thing is number one, make sure that you have the new credit card readers. If anything's older than 2 years old, you're not within PCI compliance. And PCI is your payment terminal and your security that happens within it. Older terminals store credit card information. So somebody could walk in, steal your credit card terminal, and have everybody's credit card on it.
Yeah.
The newer units do not store anything. Know that if a breach happens and you're on an older unit, your business is 100% responsible. Your merchant service is going to throw their hands up and say, it's you, it's not us. If you follow their guidelines, at least you have a chance to say, no, we followed everything and we followed your security policies to ensure and went through a PCI compliancy review to prove that we were good, and if there was a breach, you know, it's partly on you as well.
So we're talking about the EVM stuff, right? Is that the Europay, yeah, MasterCard, Visa type of thing?
Yes. Yeah, because the credit cards are now, I mean, recently they just thrown it back and said it's the merchant's fault for everything, no matter what you do. So it's your responsibility to make sure that you have the right terminals, you've partnered with the right merchant services, and check their credentials. You know, just because they offer a decent rate doesn't mean that they're secure and they pass their PCI compliances. Because you want to be able to offset that burden. And you know, I'm more worried about a breach or a credit card theft than I am anything else.
Yeah, hey Scott, you know, since we've kind of talked about, we've used some brand names here, I'm curious about the POS scenario, because I know some companies, NCR, National Cash Register, they offer a mobile POS system, but they have their own proprietary NCR-owned cloud. So in that case, would they still be, you know, a part of Amazon? And what would be the recourse for a small business if they were buying, you know what I mean, doing their system through them as a software and then utilizing their corporate-owned cloud? Is there a benefit to that?
That is their attempts at protecting everybody.
Yeah.
And making sure that all the data that transfers from the device to their cloud and beyond is encrypted,
right,
to where only their systems can understand it. So
right
at
in.
That point, yes, you are protected.
Okay, because it also encompasses the inventory needs, you know.
Yes.
Okay.
It encompasses everything because you're working within their guidelines, and they're taking the responsibility at that point.
Yeah, okay. You know, Tom, I really enjoyed this conversation, but I think it's time for a brief musical respite, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Time to play a little bit more of Scott's music. He has nice stuff. We like this. Let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and talk about Scott some more.
Thank you.
Right, so Scott, I really like it. You know, I would much rather play it on and on, but most everybody really wants to hear what you have to say about stuff. Our guest tonight is Scott Neal. Scott is Fast Track Computer Solutions here on the west coast of Florida. His phone number, 727-942-2066, and his website is fasttrackcomputer.com. Or if you want to email him, it's sneal, N-E-A-L, at fasttrackcomputer.com. That's how we get a hold of our guy here. Scott, what about, you mentioned the people who had the online sales. We talked about the credit card. Another potential portal of something I think not completely controlled would be things like, say, PayPal. People who are selling through them are, what's your thoughts there?
My thoughts with PayPal is very good, and I actually had the fortune to be at a customer site today who won a case that PayPal was fighting for them on their behalf on a customer that didn't pay them, and it was a construction company. PayPal really steps up to the plate and helps you out, and they're there for you, and they take the responsibility. So basically, when you're using a PayPal or a QuickBooks on a credit card online, those companies are actually footing the responsibility, and they're taking it out of your hands. And you know, the only one thing I don't like about QuickBooks is they just sent me a credit card swiper for my cell phone, and I'm not a big fan of using a cell phone for anything that's going to be used privately or securely.
You're speaking with regard to the idea of it being the information being encoded as it leaves the phone?
That, as well as cell phones are easily hackable. And somebody could be on your cell phone right now. I mean, every app that you download to your cell phone, one of the things that you have to agree to is that the app provider wants access to your entire client database or your entire content database. And anything that you do on your phone. And, you know, that always scares me when I'm downloading apps to my phone because I don't want to give up that privacy.
Okay.
But everybody's requiring that you agree to it when you download their apps to your phones. So that's one of the biggest reasons why I don't do that is because I don't want to sit there and swipe on my credit card. It's a little, it's a QuickBooks swipe card. I'm just holding it in my hand right here. They sent it to me and said, please use this from now on. No, thank you.
And what's in your other hand?
You know, Tom, you did mention red wine, but tonight it's white.
Oh, okay. Must be a Janie deal. All right, so let's go back, make sure we go through enough of this issue of backups. Your survey that you're asking people, and you're in anticipation, you're getting a good, solid answer from them. It's like, hey, I'm okay if I lost 6 hours of data. Or, wow, now that you mention it, Scott, I need instantaneous backup. Those are the type of questions and answers that you have there?
Those are the types of questions and answers. And a lot of times, even when we go through the scenario and we put it all down and we get it all set up and there is a failure, we find out after the fact that, you know, the customer said, I can deal with 8 hours of downtime, when in reality they can only account for 4. So, you know, I always put in the fudge factor in my quotes, and I always go better than what the customer says they can afford to do in downtime, because I've been in the situation so many times where 8-hour downtime is a lot of data loss, especially if you're doing point of sale. And to be able to recover that means that you've got to get back with your credit card companies. If you took credit cards, I don't even know how you do it on cash, because nobody's keeping a tally on the cash that goes through the system, and be able to recover everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and how far on someone, say, a point of sale system, or as we also have people participating who are in service business, how wide do we go with the backup? I mean, do I want the backup of all of my programs as well as my data? Tell us what it is.
Yes, in small businesses, I like to go in, and if I can recreate the applications in a short time frame, get them reinstalled and operating again, then we will just do a data backup. If there's numerous applications, and even in every medical office I go to, I always have one machine at the front desk and the server, and I'm doing periodic image backups, which gives me a much greater control over the restoration. I'm storing them locally, and I can bring the entire machine back in less than a half hour from the point of failure or the point of last backup.
And with nothing lost.
Minimal loss, because it's at the point of last backup that it happened. In a lot of these cases, we're doing 3 to 4 backups a day, so we're doing backups every 2 to 3 hours.
I still think about mine, which the idea we're constantly backing up. I'm so much more comfortable with it. It's always there. I remember when we used to do it, it's once a night, and we put it on a tape, and you hope you remember to take it out. And I remember when we used to do it with you put it on a CD, and you hope that somebody remembered to take the CD out of the drive, because if it was a fire, the piece of plastic of the CD was going to burn just as quick as the computer was going to burn.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your particular instance, we're doing multiple, and I don't even know if I even explained this to you, Tom. We're doing multiple backups. We're actually doing backups of the machines once a day, so the data is being stored from every machine into Sooner in a separate area that you can't see unless you go to activate it. And then your day-to-day stuff is being synchronized between your two machines and your phone. So at any time, you can go to this data and see it synchronized over here. Or on the other hand, if we had total failure, I could bring you in through the back door and say, oh, by the way, Tom, I was backing you up over here, so we'll get this restored first and then bring these files in current.
Yeah, well, I have been very appreciative of the times where I've gotten myself into trouble somewhere, and somehow or another, we've had it there. I cringe about those that lose stuff. What now? Does this speak to the situation of people who would take and leave computers on 24/7? Does that come into play anywhere?
It does, and my first question is, why do you leave it on 24/7? And that's a whole other road and another discussion. However, I will just put a quick little pointer on that. Leaving the computer on is very destructive to the computer, and it keeps the computer from operating at optimum performance. If you're going to leave it on, make sure you reboot it at least once when you come in and once before you go home. So you got a good, clean machine every time you sit down in front of it. Servers, on the other hand, are designed to run 24/7. Desktop computers are not, and it decreases the life expectancy of the machine by leaving it on all the time.
Let's talk about a couple of items that I know that we use, and I like the price of them. They were free, but you're one that told us we need to have them. And one of them is a program called CleanUp, and another one is a program called Super Antivirus Software. And then there's a third one that we do pay for, ESET, am I correct? ESET?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go first with CleanUp. You go online, you Google it, you've come up with a program called CleanUp. What is it doing for someone's machine?
What that does is that works in conjunction with Windows CleanUp. Windows, when you go in, a lot of people think that they go in and they clean their internet history and their machines clean. But on the contrary, it's only cleaning up the history and not cleaning up all the cookies and ancillary files that have been dumped on your machine behind the scenes that you didn't know was happening. So CleanUp is another application that augments – Windows Cleanup,
mm-hmm.
and the combination of them both delete all the cookies, temporary files, and any other ancillary application that was downloaded to your machine. Cleanup goes a little bit further and allows you to also delete files in certain folders. If you want to delete everything in your temp folder, it'll do
yeah.
it, where Windows Cleanup won't.
Yeah, so like CC Cleaner would be an example of that. That's,
Absolutely. CC Cleaner is another one on that list. The
okay.
only reason I don't normally tell people about CC Cleaner is because CC Cleaner is a very powerful application and it has a registry cleaning app portion to it that can become very dangerous to the novice user.
Okay.
Well, so know what you're touching.
Know what you're doing when you're doing it, because when you're cleaning your registry, the registry is the heart of the database that runs your computer. And if you don't know what you're doing in the registry and relying on a program to do it, it can be a very dangerous outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it time and time again where, I only optimized my registry and now it doesn't boot anymore.
Ouch.
Okay.
So, but if we go to something like Cleanup, Cleanup is free.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Super Antivirus Spyware.
Yes. It's actually Super Anti-Spyware. I use that, and we've just discovered, I discovered a new application a few years ago called Hitman Pro, and I'm starting to roll that out to people now. And both of those are second opinion programs, and they dive deeper into the malware and adware aspect of the computer that a lot of antivirus programs don't touch upon. Another application that a lot of people use out there, I'm personally not a fan of it, but I see it all over the place, is malware bytes.
Mm-hmm.
They all basically do the same thing. But I've run them side by side. We've done tests. We've done bench demonstrations. And every time Super Anti-Spyware outbeats malware bytes, and we can run a malware bytes, run Super Anti-Spyware behind it, and actually see information that malware bytes thought was okay, and Super Anti-Spyware said, no, it's not, and this is the reason why. And then Hitman Pro is a second opinion. So you run your virus program, you run your Super Anti-Spyware, and then at the end, you run Hitman Pro as your third option. You know, we don't go to a doctor and for a broken arm. You know, sometimes we want to get one or two opinions before they cut into us, and this is kind of the same thing with the computer industry. You want a couple different opinions to make sure that what you're doing is clean and you're getting everything off your machine.
Okay. Well, Todd, you know, it sounds to me like we've pretty well gone over security options and cleaning things up, and I think probably we need to clean up this conversation, but before that, we need to tell folks who's going to be on next month.
We have a return guest coming to us next month by name of Becky McRae, and as I spoke with Becky today, she's going to talk to us about a trend that she has been tracking, perhaps some of us have read in the press, and that is there seems to be a kink in the armor of the mass merchants, particularly Target and Walmart. And so we're going to ask her, from someone who is an expert on small business, what's the kink? What's she seeing as Becky travels about? And so Becky has the opportunity to take a much more in-depth look of this stuff as compared to what you get the little quick sound bites out of the people in the media. So our program for April, and I'm not sure which night it's going to be yet in April. It's going to be one of the first three Thursday nights. Becky McRae, who is from Oklahoma, will be back to join us. And we'll talk about, so what's happening with the big boys there that are beginning to become problems, and is it affecting small businesses? And at the same time, is there an opportunity for a small business to take advantage of this? So stay tuned. There'll be in the announcements coming out for August. Scott, one other item. You always recommend something called ESET. What is it?
ESET is your antivirus and anti-spyware application. And most importantly, it's also got an added feature of a protected web page for any online banking that you're doing and keeping that site silent and separate from anything else that you do. And it's highly recommended. It's protected a lot of my clients and guiding them and has got them through a lot of situations by quarantining things that have happened to their computers that other programs wouldn't do.
Okay. And then you sent to all of your customers today an email.
Yes.
And the email that you sent talked about something called Locky, L-O-C-K-Y?
Yes.
So how about a word of caution advisement to everybody listening tonight? What is this Locky thing and what's happening with it?
The Locky virus is a very, it comes via email. It's going to be an attachment, and it's going to have a word invoice attached to it. Please play caution when you're opening emails. Only open what you know, what you are expecting or what you know. Do not open anything unknown. Automatically purge and delete. Mm-hmm. If it's something important, somebody else, they will reach out to you again.
Is that a phishing, Scott?
Excuse me?
Is that a phishing?
Yes.
Okay.
The Locky virus is it's a virus that is also ransomware. Once you click on the invoice, it opens up and activates itself and locks down your entire data, locks you out, and tells you to hold all your data ransom and say, pay us X amount of money to get your data back. At this point in time, the reports have been that they've been honest thieves, and they are actually giving you, if you pay them, the keys to unlock your data. So at this point, the reports are coming in favoratively to these thieves. However, at the end of the day, they're still thieves.
Okay.
So just practice safe email.
Okay, nothing like safe email. Read a report as I was traveling this week. Found it fascinating, this article, where the person said somehow or another they had determined that with passwords, you know, here's where the most common ones, and when they were four-digit numbers, here's what the most common ones that were used, thinking of that particularly on things like your phones. You want to speak a little bit about the phrases, the words, whatever you do for passwords?
Yes, passwords, as complex as you can make them without forgetting them.
Okay.
And that's 8 characters, as complex as you can get it without forgetting it. There are some good programs out there. I use a program called RoboForm, or I have one complex password that I remember within that application. I store all my other passwords. So I need my password to get in to get all my other passwords. Password Keeper, Password Finder, there's a few of them out there that do that. Just make sure that you password protect the program that's holding all your passwords.
Mm-hmm.
8 characters, complex, and try to remember it. And don't put it underneath your keyboard. That's the first place
we really.
That's the first place we always look.
Is the on the keyboard itself?
Yes, taped to the bottom of the keyboard.
All right. I'd ask this question. How many passwords do you have?
Me in particular, I'd say at least 800.
800 different passwords you have?
Yes.
Is that necessary, or are you just paranoid?
Good point.
Yes, on both points. It is necessary because each vendor that I deal with requires a secure password, and I don't like reusing the same password for all vendors in case something gets compromised. If I get compromised on one vendor, I know that they're not going to use the same password on the next vendor. And changing your passwords periodically, you know, that's another thing that in businesses we try to shoot for every 30 days, change your password. Some businesses go 3 months, some go 6, some go 9 months. It's just that you have a routine in which you can change that password, because hackers are out there, and one of the biggest things out there are key loggers, where you open up an email, you go to a website, and something gets dropped on your computer that you don't even know about. And what they're doing is they're installing a key logger so they can trace your keystrokes. Once they have your keystrokes down, they have your password.
So it should be like eight characters and two capitals or something like that?
I would do 8 characters, at least 1 capital, lowercase, and a character. I always do 2 characters, though.
Hmm.
So, you know, exclamation point, ampersand, or exclamation point, asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
Always incorporate more than 1 character within your password.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, I ran into a person who, she told me that her password was Goofy, Minnie, Mickey, Cinderella, Doc, Grumpy, Happy, and Snow White, and Detroit and Miami. And I asked her why she did that, and he said, well, the instructions, she said, wanted me to do 8 characters and 2 capitals. I thought it was a good show before we talked about what we're really all in here for, and that's that favorite sound, Tom.
Yes. Hey, Scott, I know there are a lot of other things you could have been doing tonight, but I thank you as a friend that you would take the time to come and sit and talk with us.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the time. And, yes, I could have gone hours and hours and hours on this. And, you know, if anybody wants to call and talk to me, I'd be more than happy to sit down and discuss in more detail, you know, what you need to look at for your business.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to get anything out of this. I can just help you along the way and make sure that you're safe.
I'll send that blog to you, Scott.
Thank you.
Great job, guys. Thank you.
You find Scott. Email is sneal, @fasttrackcomputer.com. Website, same thing, fasttrackcomputer.com. Phone number, 727-942-2066. And I gladly give a personal endorsement of working with Scott. And for those of you, no matter where you are in the world listening to tonight, he can remote into your system. He can call you. He can do all kinds of necessary. We've worked that way together for a number of years. He takes good care of us. And other than the importance of the topic, I thought it was something from hearing how many people who do not take care of these things is that, you know, you need to hear from someone other than me, a true professional, is telling you these are the type of things you need to be looking at and taking care of, and because when you don't and you get bit, it is ugly. That being said, thank you, Bill Kendi, for joining us from Nashville. Tell Mom we said hello.
Will do. And thank you, guys.
And Scott, thank you. And everybody, stay tuned. Yeah. Watch your emails in April to find out which Thursday night that Becky McRae is going to be with us. And as Bill always likes to say, here's the favorite sound, and good night, everybody.
It's been our pleasure to share fresh ideas and trends from premier small business owners, coaches, and resources. Join Tom Shea and guests again next month for e-retailer conversations right here on PBN, the Profitable Business Network.